very much to the team for the presentation. Now, do the committee members need any factual clarification? I had one question, actually. And you mentioned in the interim residential property the market value compensation. Do we have any idea of what date the market value is going to be set, has been or will be set?
I can probably find out the exact date, but I think there was a date. So if somebody's bought a property within the last couple of years and knew about the expansion, then they wouldn't be able to get some of the compensation. But I think it applies from a date, I'll check, but it's 2 or 3 years ago.
The actual market value
yes.
was two
yes.
or 3 years ago.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Councillor Doran.
This EUR/EZ charge.
Sorry, Councillor, I can't hear you. Could you speak into the microphone?
Sorry, this applies to the EUR/EZ charge, which has been mentioned. It does, in fact, apply to commercial vehicles, as well as cars. If you look at page 7 of your
Was that a question or a statement? I didn't catch.
No, that's a question that I think.
A question,
yeah.
Okay.
For clarification.
Okay. Thank you. While we're waiting for someone to answer that, are there any more factual clarifications? Councillor Saliopoulos.
Thank you very much, Chairman. My question relates to our officer who just spoke, who deals with the noise schemes in the borough. I beg your pardon, I've forgotten her name, Chairman, forgive me. She talked about a 25-year construction. I just want to check that's correct. And secondly, you talked about the decisions that would be made as regards to pollution and noise, and you said that would have to go back to the committee. I just wondered, Madam Chairman, I'm sorry if I turn around you can't hear me.
Don't worry about it.
Which committee are you referring to? Thank you very much.
It's Tracy Wilmot French who will be answering.
Sorry, I beg your pardon.
First of all, with regards to the Control of Pollution Act stuff, i.e. the control of noise associated with construction works, Heathrow were looking at establishing a committee. We don't know who they are.
Okay.
They haven't listed who they are. And that us local authorities who might have objection or concerns with regard to the hours being put forward for a particular construction thing have to approach the committee if we have concerns with regard to that and ask for a change in the proposal. For the construction sites, 25 years in various different places. Olivia mentioned that we've got CS 11 and 10. CS 10. And for CS10, you're looking at construction phase for 2021 to 2033. And for the CS11, you're looking at CS21 to to 2050.
Thank you, Gemma. Matt, have you decided who's going to answer?
We're still looking up about the ultra-low emission zone, but just to confirm, in terms of the wider property office zone compensation, the deadline for qualification for purchases is before the end of 2013. So that's the question that you asked, Chairman, about.
Okay, thank you very much. That's 6 years ago. Right.
Okay.
Councillor, we'll answer your question as soon as it's determined, all right?
Sorry, could you put your
microphone on, please?
Yeah, what was that the reply again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Would you turn it off, please? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Right, we'll now move on.
Sorry.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Councillor, I looked away.
I was doing it rather modestly, sorry.
That's right.
Could I ask if the officers have made any estimate of the employment impact of not going ahead with the third runway? We've heard of the impact if it does go ahead. Is there an impact on employment if it does not go ahead?
This is Morgan. Keith McClory, sorry.
There's been some research done that if the third runway didn't take place and alternative hub airport was constructed, such as what's referred to as Boris Island, the impact on Heathrow is that they would close up shop and go home. But the third runway, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen anywhere else, or there isn't another hub airport that's created, then I don't know the exact answer, but I wouldn't suspect anything would change.
Thank you very much, Keith. Oh, right, sorry.
Sorry, Chairman, with regards to the question about the ultra-low emission zones, it was asked by Councillor Duran. Olivia Flint's going to answer that one.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
The ultra-low emission zone doesn't apply to commercial vehicles. It only applies to cars, private cars, going to the terminals or the car parks. Once the vehicle access charge is in place, at 2026, that will apply to private hire vehicles, so private hire vehicle taxis, but not black cabs, but still, again, cars. There are other mitigation measures being put forward to try to reduce the number of freight movements.
Thank you very much.
Sorry, can I come back on that? I'm looking at the Air Quality, page 7, and it specifically states it incorporates freight areas of the airport, and that the airport related development.
Could you turn your microphone off, please, Councillor?
I obviously don't have that document in front of me, and I need to see it, so perhaps in the comfort break I can take a quick look at it and comment further at that point.
Thank you very much.
I think the confusion might be where it says the ultra-low emission zone vehicle access charge should be payable by all vehicles. That's what we are saying, as opposed to what Hal are saying. Hal is saying that it's, as Olivia just said, that we would rather that it applied to all vehicles.
Thank you, Councillor. Okay, well, we'll visit that again later. So thank you very much for that, and we'll now move on. And I would now like to invite Carlton Brown and Stephen Wilkinson from the Aurora Group to give a presentation on Heathrow West, the alternative proposal that has been put forward for a new terminal configuration for an expanded airport.
Good evening. I'd just like to say, actually, I think there's a great technical presentation that you've given, actually, a very good summary of what is actually a very, very complex subject. So congratulations to the team in doing such a concise summary, actually. For those who don't know, I'm Carlton Brown, CEO of Heathrow West. This is my colleague on my left, Stephen Wilkinson, who is head of stakeholder engagement. He's also at Heathrow West. You probably don't know who Heathrow West are. We're part of the Aurora Group. The Aurora Group is a hotel and property group. We have a lot of business and interests around airports in the South East, in particular Heathrow, but also Gatwick and Stansted. So we're well used to working around the airport, living around the airport, and for the most part trying to work with the airport. I guess what's the most important thing to state here is that we are a rival promoter to Heathrow Airport Limited. So we're coming up with alternatives to what they're coming up with. We are the same scheme. So the Northwest Runway scheme is the expansion for the airport. So we are the same scheme, but we've come up with alternative proposals how you deliver the expansion. And so our focus actually is around the terminal. not the runway. We don't believe there's a lot we can change in terms of the runway, but there's an awful lot we can change around the ancillary supporting facilities, in particular terminals that go with the runway. This actually is an update to Spelthorpe. We presented, Stephen actually presented back in May, an update to the Spelthorpe. This is simply an update to that. So many thanks for the invitation. So, our approach. So, where our principle is to be treated fairly. Heathrow Airport Limited is the incumbent. We are the new kid on the block. We are the new kid on the block. And so we are looking for to be treated fairly. And we accept that Heathrow has got a seat at the table and has a sort of the natural go-to party. We think competition passionately is a good thing. Choice gives better opportunity for better quality. Choice drives a better outcome. Best opportunity to compare different choices means hopefully a better outcome for everybody. So we believe passionately that choice is a good thing. And actually, if we can't demonstrate we're better than Hal, then actually go with Hal. So we make no bones about that. However, we believe we have significant advantages over Heathrow Airport Limited as Heathrow West. Those advantages being we have a very much simpler proposal, set of proposals. We have a smaller footprint than HAL, which then means less construction, less impact, and therefore we can deliver it quicker and it's less costly. So you go, wow, that's quite a lot of benefits. So we've put on there what a successful expansion look like, and the key is successful. We don't want Heathrow Airport to turn into a white elephant. And I take on board the points of Raisebound being an affordable expansion project. It needs to be affordable. Lots of parties talking about affordability and the escalating costs, which are frankly ridiculous. But you know they are huge costs, and so where we don't end up is a white elephant at Heathrow. Something that you may recall Willie Walsh from IAG has also referred to. So we need to end up with a cost-effective and sustainable solution, which benefits business and the UK in general. It's good for local jobs, good for apprenticeships, less disruption, and local communities are treated fairly. We passionately believe that the expansion of the airport is good for everybody, and everybody should share in the benefit of that. Of course, yes, it does have an impact on communities, and it does have an impact around businesses, but actually, how can we share those benefits across the across the wider airport? And our mantra is, we want to be better than HAL in all respects. So, I think what is important to look at is what's HAL's master plan. So what are we comparing to? So this is the master plan, which you're all no doubt familiar with. The key things I want to sort of bring out on this master plan is it's a large footprint. And if you compare to what was in the Airports Commission, this is a larger footprint than was in the Airports Commission, reviewed by the Airports Commission. And in particular, the significant expansion in the north, even accepting there's a runway in the north, there's significant expansion in the west, and also in the south, but also there's some expansion around Hatton Cross in the east as well. The other key thing is to note is the terminal expansion, which Heathrow Airport Limited are expanding three areas, and hopefully I can point. So you've got the area in the north, area in the west, and the centre area here. So three areas to expand the terminals, and I'll come back to where we get to on that side. There's also significant change in car parking, which has already been alluded to already. And just to put that into context, you might not be able to see quite small on the screen, but in the north, there's a 24,000 proposed new car park in the north, and in the south, there's 22,000 spaces, which you talked about a lot today. Now, that's in total, that's 46,000 car park spaces. To put that into context, in an expanded airport, that represents just those two car parks, over 70% of total car park spaces at the airport. That's completely new facilities. Which then means, because actually the number of spaces aren't changing that much between where we are today and where we'll be tomorrow under HAL's master plan in 2050, that means roughly 70% of existing car park spaces will be relocated to those two car park spaces. That's a massive shift in terms of car park spaces that are there at the airport. So, what are we saying? So the critical thing here, by working with airlines and saying, actually, what do the airlines want? What do they want in terms of efficiency and efficient airports? We've come up with a solution in the West where you have one terminal, a new terminal in the West, which obviates the need for a terminal in the North, and actually you don't necessarily need to do any new configuration in the centre. So the big news there is much more efficient, located in the West, concentrated in the West, much more efficient for airlines, and actually a much more concentrated footprint. So in the North, you don't need your Northern satellite. So if you don't need the Northern satellite, that means you then free up a lot of space between the two runways for maybe retaining as existing use, or actually is a better alternative to what is there at the moment. Now, many of you may know that space between those two runways houses thousands and thousands and thousands of car park spaces. There's a list, so if you look on Google Maps, I was doing that on the way over, and actually just the vastness of the number of spaces is just huge. So, we can, by not having the Northern satellite, you straight away save thousands and thousands and thousands of car park spaces, which then means you don't need to build as many new car park spaces. You then look at right-sizing the car park spaces to incoming traffic, and we've done some analysis, which is based on the modelling from Highways England TfL, where 8% of passengers arrive from the south on the M25. Only 8% of total passengers. About 50% come in from London down the M4. So that gives you the sort of the clarity around actually where do people come in from. So why would you need such a large car park in the south? We don't think you need that. So actually, better off to have a larger car park in the centre, where between the two runways, which is what Hal is saying, the Northern satellite, if you don't need the Northern satellite, you can build a car park there. And if you build a significantly large car park, you then reduce the car park in the south significantly. You then have further options. So then say, well, actually, if I have a smaller car park in the south, and it doesn't need to be as big as Hal is proposing, can I move that car park? And so potentially we're looking at options, and we want to work with the community in Spelthorn on this, around potentially moving the car park towards the M25, so it's closer to sort of the main arterial routes. Do you look at park and ride? So do you actually park somewhere else remotely and then come into the airport? And actually, can you use that in conjunction with a light railway scheme, which I know Spelthorn is very passionate about? So can we do something along those lines? And by working with Spelthorn, working with the community, we genuinely believe we can get to a much better outcome. And this all comes from not having a Northern satellite, because you free up that space that otherwise is used by a terminal which isn't required. So just some other couple of highlights on our proposals. The one thing is you can probably see, hopefully see, it's much more compact than what Hal's master plan is. And therefore what you end up with is more green corridor, more blue corridor. And the other thing is, I talked about at the beginning, less construction. And you're talking about, is it 25 years? I think it's actually 28 years. But you know, whether it's 25 years, 28 years, 30 years, it's a significantly long period of time. We can deliver everything we're delivering, because it's a smaller footprint, in 10 years. So just think about that. So that's reducing the amount of construction by less than half, and therefore the amount of impact reducing significantly. So hopefully I've given you a bit of a flavour for what we are. And I guess the key takeaways is efficient terminal design in one location then leads to significantly less impact. And actually, which is relevant for Spelthorn in particular around that southern car park, it means relocation of car park spaces is significantly reduced, and then gives you further options to the location of that new car park. So that's all I was going to say. So if anybody has any questions, any difficult ones, I'll pass them to Stephen.
Thank you very much, Mr. Brown. Right, so do the committee members need any factual clarifications? Yes, Councillor Gething.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Well, my first question is, why do you think you don't need the additional terminal buildings? And on the basis of what you discussed, are all the car parking sites that you've described going to be airside? Because it looks as though they probably will be, and there's clearly a security issue arising from that.
Right, so from the terminal capacity, it's quite straightforward. So at the moment, Hal's proposal is T5 West, which is 20 million passengers. T5 North is 17 million passengers. We can deliver 40 million passengers in the West. So you've got 17 and 20 under Hal. We can deliver in that footprint 40. And actually, the constraining factor for terminal is not actually the building itself, not many people know this, is actually the gates. Can you fit the gates in the area next to the terminal? That's the critical thing. And so if you can focus on the gates and make sure you have enough gates for the aircraft to come up to the terminal, then you can have a much more efficient proposition. At the moment, Hal's proposition is you have a gate that can accommodate absolutely everything. And what we're doing is coming up with gates that are much more focused. We focus on the wide-bodied and narrow-bodied aircraft, and therefore we can be much more efficient. And by working with the airlines around what they want, and actually what they're going to be using the terminal for, we end up with a much more efficient design. So we're absolutely confident that we can deliver that, because if we can't deliver the 40 million packs, then our proposals don't work. So that's the first thing. The second point was, I'm not sure about the airside point, the airside. So the car parks we're proposing will be all landside. There's no airside car parks. So I'm not quite sure where you've got that impression from. So the only thing we're doing is configuring a car park in T5, between T5 and T6, but that's between the two terminals and it's landside.
Okay.
Councillor Gibson.
Just a quick one. If Heathrow Airport Limited do not engage with you, how do you propose to get your master plan forward or through?
Yes, so so Hal will have no incentive to engage with us. They've been put a lot of pressure by the DfT, by the CAA, by the airlines to engage with us, to no effect. We've come up with what we've come up with through coming up with experts in their field around the world. So we're working with the likes of Bechtel, Scott Brownrigg, DHV, Royal Vasconi, NACO, who build airports for a living. So actually, we've assembled a team that has more experience than Heathrow Airport Limited, actually, strange enough. So we're able to come up with this stuff in isolation of that. Of course, we generally believe we can come up with an even better solution if Hal worked with us. So we believe it could be better than we are if they worked with us. But we are absolutely confident, and we wouldn't be doing and investing how much money we are if we didn't believe we couldn't come up with a solution ourselves.
Councillor Gethin, did you have a subsequent point?
I do. Clearly, Hal have put quite a lot of emphasis in their relationships with trade unions, and they've entered into a number of negotiations. I believe I've been told about Lord Blunkett being involved in quite a lot of negotiations in terms of establishing the job profiles and salary expectations that people can expect from the new jobs that will be created, and also they put an awful lot of emphasis on providing apprenticeships for people. Now, those negotiations have obviously been going on for a good number of years. How are you going to reproduce that level of support from the business community?
So we do a number of different activities around the airport today. So we run a number of hotels, we run lots of apprenticeship schemes, we run construction around the airport and around other areas in the country. So, you know, we work with other businesses in delivering what we deliver, and of course apprentices and apprenticeships and job creation is part of that. So we believe actually that Hal have made some interesting remarks around how they're going to create construction jobs locally. We're not quite sure yet how they're going to deliver that. We're still working on that, around how we can actually deliver more jobs locally. But I think, you know, Hal's plans, you know, is yet to be seen actually how they can deliver what they've actually promised. But I think, you know, we are, as an existing business, we work with local communities, we create apprenticeships, we do that today, and we'll continue to do that tomorrow. So that won't change.
Thank you. Any more points?
Yes.
Councillor Smith Ainslie.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Yes, if Hal won't engage with you, have you been approaching the government? Because they're the ones that will finish up doing the approval on the scheme. So have you been approaching them to say that Hal should be engaging with you?
Yes, so we've been in regular dialogue with the DfT. So there's been some changes in the DfT you're probably all aware of. So we haven't got in front of Grant Chaps yet. I think he's busy on some other issues at the moment rather than transportation issues. But no, we have been working with the DfD, working with the civil servants. They have tried to get how to engage with us. So the interestingly, the innovation partner program was referred to earlier was introduced by HAL as a direct consequence to get us to engage with HAL. Unfortunately, that was set up as a supplier relationship as opposed to actually working in partnership. And I remember having a breakfast meeting with John Paul and Kay and Ross Baker on that very subject. And we said to John very clearly, this is not working in partnership, John, this is working for you. This does not work, this is not competition. So, you know, HAL are not going to come to the table voluntarily because they're protecting their monopoly. And make no mistake, they currently make a lot of money and they are trying to protect that. And we've come along and we believe we can deliver expansion at half the cost. I think that gives you a scale of the extent of what they're doing compared to what we're doing. We believe we can do it for half the cost and still make money. That's the extent of their monopoly and how much they're making money.
And are you basically saying that the runway development will be HAL and the Aurora development will be the Terminal 6 part of the development and the car parking, etc.?
Effectively, yes, it's not quite as simple as that, but effectively, yes. So the bit that we said, so our proposals and our DCO cover everything apart from the runway. So a red line, if you like, there's different debates around what a red line is, but the red line will cover absolutely everything apart from the runway, which is for HAL. The bits then that will be up for discussion around who does what will be things like the waterways, do we do that? Does HAL do that? The M25 works, HAL will largely do that, but there's some works that we're proposing to Junction 14A. Do we do that or does HAL do that as part of what they're doing? So yes, we want to do the terminal part. That's where we see we can add the real value. The car parks, we can develop that, HAL can develop that, or actually, we actually think third parties can develop that. So it doesn't necessarily need to be the airport or the promoter of the DCO to do all this work. We're not trying to be greedy and do everything. We're focused on the terminal. We will do other bits if we have to, but actually we're more than happy to work with others to on a JV basis to develop other parts of the airport and airport-related development that we're doing over time.
Thank you. Councillor Gibson, did you have another point?
So just a very small backtrack. Just to put it into perspective, with the proposed car parking element, does anybody know how many car parking spaces are actually at Heathrow at the present time?
60,000. So 60,000 today, and the planning permission to take that to 65. So HAL isn't actually asking for any additional spaces, they're just making advanced or just using the existing space they're consented to today. So the consent is 65, the current is 62. So under expansion, they're saying they use the full 65.
Thank you very much. Right, well, I would like to thank Mr. Brown and Mr. Wilkinson for coming and taking the time this evening to present the alternative Aurora proposal to us this evening. You are both welcome to stay for the remainder of the evening, or if you prefer, you may leave now.
No, we'll stay for a while,
thank you very much indeed.